Yes, indeed. Yeah. Good morning. I trust that you're rejoicing in the Lord this morning. Lots to rejoice in, isn't there? Good to see all of you. I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said, it's time to worship him and to praise his holy name. In light of Christmas, I've been preaching some messages. We first of all started with Genesis chapter 3. Remember when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit that God told them not to? God then performed the very first sacrifice, and that sacrifice was to clothe Adam and Eve. An animal had to die because of their sin. The very, very first sacrifice. And then, of course, in verse 15, it shares with us that Christ was going to send a sacrifice that was going to end all sacrifices, that the seed of the woman then would conquer Satan. But Satan would give a blow to the heel on the son of Adam, the seed of the woman. And that, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, died on the cross that we might have eternal life. So in light of Christmas, I have another message that I'd like to share with you that sometimes is hidden within the story, and sometimes we don't always see. But this is good. This is powerful, and I hope that you'll enjoy it this morning. I'd like to encourage you to join me in your copy of the Word of God to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to focus our attention on verses 1 to 13. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. And I'm going to read these verses for us this morning. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read beginning at verse 1 all the way to verse 13. And I'd like you to join me, if you would, by standing. If you do not are not able to stand, that's okay. You can remain seated. But those of you that can, are able and willing, go ahead and join me, if you would, as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning. In Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1, the Word of God says this: "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering, instead of his son. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word here this morning and for what is hidden within. Father, we rejoice in a Savior. Behold the Lamb of God. Help us to remember what you have done for each one of us and to see the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in this type of Isaac. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, as we get started here this morning, I want to share with you a very outlandish request. This was outlandish. God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son on Mount Moriah. If we look in the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, keep your hand in Genesis 22 because we're not leaving there. But in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 21, it says this, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of my God. I am the Lord. The sacrifice through the fire of Molech was to sacrifice children. The Canaanites did that, and this was a custom that the Canaanites did. And God is saying to them, do not sacrifice your children. Also in Leviticus 20, verse 1, Leviticus chapter 20, remember, keep your finger in Genesis 22. We're going right back there. Leviticus 20, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death, and the people of the land shall stone him with stones. God made it very clear that Israel was not to sacrifice their children. That was not a custom. God loves life. Life is precious. Life is not to be taken. And that includes abortion and any means of destroying one's life. God is not pleased. This is not the will of God. So as you look at this test is not for God, as I shared with you earlier, it's not for God to see what kind of man Abraham was. It was to reveal to Abraham what type of devotion he had to his God. And how he's going to worship the true and living God. And the fact that he does love his God. So as we look at this outlandish request, we kind of sit there and scratch our head. What is God doing? He is revealing the inward parts of Abraham. And the fact that he is a servant and he worships the true and living God. God's command was to take his son, his only son, in the land of Moriah. And to sacrifice his son there on that sacrifice. And he was to leave Beersheba to Mount Moriah. It was about 50 miles away. Now look at this. As we look at this command of God, let's look at the verses here, beginning at verse 1 in Genesis 22. Remember I told you, don't lose it. Don't lose 22. That's where we don't want to be. It says here, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham was so excited, and he got up early in the morning. Look at this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass. Look at this. He got up early. He got up early. He said, wow, I get to sacrifice my son. This is what? No, I don't think that's what was happening. You know what I think was happening? He didn't sleep all night. He was already up. He was already awake. He was troubled at the request that God had. And look at what he does. It says here that he saddled his own donkey. Do you see that? I just read it. And he gets up, burnt offering, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey. It says their ass. That's a word that they used back then. And I don't like saying that word because it's got a different connotations today. I do like donkey, but as you look at this, now think about it. Abraham had a lot of help. There were servants. that loved Abraham and were there to help him and make sure his house was in order. And, you know, he had all kinds of servants to do that. But folks, Abraham was so nervous, he didn't sleep all night. And he went out there in his nervousness. He didn't even ask anybody to saddle his donkey. He was there. He put that saddle on his donkey all by himself. And I'm sure his servants thought, oh, there's something up. Abraham's not thinking right. I mean, why is he doing that? He was in deep in thought, wondering, what is God doing? What is God doing? God has a plan. He's got a reason. In the faith chapter, in Hebrews chapter 11, it shares with us that Abraham really believed that God had a plan. That even if he took the life of Isaac, he was probably going to rise again. That his son maybe come forth from the grave. I don't know. But Abraham had faith. He believed in his God. He knew what his God would do. And he had comfort in the fact that God was the one who made this request, that God certainly had a plan. So God's command, he leaves Beersheba and goes up to Mount Moriah. And I bet Dana probably even has a picture maybe that he could put up. I didn't ask him that earlier, but he might have a picture. Beersheba is kind of the south part of the Dead Sea. And of course, Mount Moriah is up there to the northern part of the Dead Sea, up into the mountains, right about where Jerusalem was going to be. And listen to this, the temple. That's where God was sending Abraham, to the very mountain that the temple one day that David would build is going to be. What a coincidence. So the Bible shared with us God's command, a unique command, a command of God. Now we want to look at Abraham's response too, because he responded in a way that all of us would. Couldn't sleep all night, couldn't sleep. God has a plan, saddled his own donkey, gets ready to go 50 miles. It took them 3 days to go those 50 miles, 3 days. And then they arrive. Now, not only do we want to look at God's command and secondly, Abraham's response, but we also want to look at God's intervention. And as we look at God's intervention, I want to share with you that Isaac is a type of Christ. And let's look at the similarities that take place. First of all, Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. Look at this. In verse 9, it tells us this, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac. Isaac submitted to the will of his father. He did exactly what his father bid him to do. He even asked, well, what about the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God has a plan. God will provide a lamb. He'll provide a lamb. Isaac was willing to die. Isaac was willing to be that sacrifice. Now in Hebrews 10 verse 9. We see Hebrews chapter 10. They moved it on me. Hebrews 10 verse 9 says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. You see, Jesus Christ was also willing. He was willing to die. O God, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Also, John chapter 4 and verse 34, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4 and verse 34 says this. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not only was Isaac willing to be sacrificed, but so was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to die for the sins of the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. We're going back there here in 1 Peter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Jesus, willing to die on the cross of Calvary, that we might have life. And then right back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Not yet he opened not his mouth. Willing, he is bruised as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." He was willing to die. Do you realize he was willing to die for you? He was willing to die on the cross, just as Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. Isaac knew the God of Israel. He knew the God of his father. He wanted to serve him. He knew that God had a plan, and so did the Son of God, willing to die for the sins of the world. But not only when we look at this type of Isaac, this type, the fact that Isaac is a type of Christ, we look at the fact that Isaac was willing to be sacrificed, and so was the Son of God, willing to die for the sins of the world. But secondly, Isaac was led up the mountain with wood on his back. Look at this. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 6, Genesis 22 verse 6 says this, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand." Also look at verse 4. "And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw," whoops, that's not the verse I was looking for. 4 and 6, but 6 certainly, "laid the wood on him." And then look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19, leaving your hand in Genesis 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 19. I love hearing pages turn, finding our way through the Word of God. Encourage you to memorize the books. They're so important. Genesis 19, verse 17. Listen to this. The Word of God says this when it comes to our Savior. "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Golgotha. There they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst." Jesus walked up to the cross, carrying his cross. We know the story, how he fell because of the weight of the cross, and that Simon came and carried it for him up to the place where he was crucified. And you know, when you consider the cross, you consider the cross, you think of the cross being in the shape of a small T, but actually it kind of looked like a small T because of the sign that they put over him. But actually the cross was a capital, looked like a capital T, and they would leave the part of the cross in the ground. They would stick the vertical part of the cross, they would leave it in the ground, and it would have like a U shape in it. And then actually when Jesus carried his cross, it was just the straight beam that his hands would be pierced to. And they would carry it. It's about 100 pounds, called the stipe. And they would carry that part. It didn't look like a cross when he went through town. It was just a beam, one huge, heavy, 100-pound beam. And he carried that up to the place, and they would crucify them on that upper beam of the capital T, and then they would lift that up and literally throw it up there and fall into that hole there at the top. And then they would pierce his feet to the beam that was stuck into the ground. Romans, they were professionals at it. They knew how to make it as painful as they can. Jesus carried that beam. Jesus carried that wood up there to the cross where he would be crucified. And Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, our sin was laid on Jesus. Our sin, just as Abraham laid that wood on Isaac to carry up to the sacrifice, Jesus carried. He carried that beam. He carried the wood up to where he would be crucified. Isaac is a type of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was Isaac willing to die, and our Savior willing to die, but Isaac carried the wood. He carried the wood up to where he would be sacrificed, and so did Jesus. But last of all, when we consider the fact of anything being laid at all, we could see that our sin was laid on the shoulders of our Savior. He died in our place. He died in our place that we might have eternal life. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Let's look at it. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah once again. Isaiah 53. That's a powerful portion of Scripture. One day I'm going to preach from it. Here, Isaiah 53, and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Christ took our pain, took our burden, took our sin upon himself that we might have eternal life. So as you look at the type of Christ, first of all, Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. So was our Savior, willing to die. Isaac led up the mountain with the wood on his back. And Jesus Christ carried the cross to Calvary. And he also carried our burden and our sin. But thirdly, Isaac's only son. Listen to this. Isaac's only son of his father. If you look here in Scripture, it says in verse 2, look at this. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son." Oh, there we go. Yes, thank you. All right. So he's saying, "Thine only son." And you might think, wait a second, didn't he have another? No, it was the only son of promise, the only son of his wife Sarah. The only son. So the only son. And then also, if you look in verse 12, look at verse 12, says this. And he said, "I lay not thine hand," or, "and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Also look at verse 16. And said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." And you get the picture, don't you? Not only was Isaac Abraham's only son, but think about John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Only unique son. Only one of his kind, eternal, the Son of God, God incarnate in the flesh, his only son. Hebrews 11:17 says this. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 17, Hebrews 11, verse 17 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. His only son. The faith chapter in the book of Hebrews. Also look in Romans 8:32, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 8. And verse 32 says this, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? His only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac is a type of Christ. Not only do we see that he was willing to be sacrificed, and so was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led up the mountain with wood on his back, just as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only bore the wood, but also bore the sins of the world. And then Isaac's only son, his father, to his father, and Jesus Christ is our Father's only son. What a type. And then fourthly, they sacrificed Isaac was done in private. Look at this. It was done in private. Verse 5, Genesis 22, and verse 5, it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So he told his servants, abide here. Stay right here. So Abraham and Isaac went alone. They went all by themselves. Isaac alone with his father Abraham, alone on that mountain where Isaac was to be sacrificed. Now, when we think about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son alone, you think about Jesus when he was crucified. There are many there that were looking on. Many there that were looking on. But they don't know what was going on in the mind and heart of our Savior. The sky became dark. It was black. The veil was ripped in the temple, and God turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you that Jesus was alone, bore the penalty of hell that we might have eternal life. Bore it alone that we might have life. Our Savior loved us so much. Our Son, the Savior, was perfect and without sin. Perfect and without sin. We had a debt we couldn't pay. We couldn't pay it. But Jesus Christ paid it. He paid it all alone on the cross that we might have eternal life. Folks, I'm up here crying. Anybody else crying? This is incredible of what Jesus Christ has done and the hope that we have in him. Father and Son alone, as Christ bore our hell on the cross. When Christ died, the veil of darkness came down, and the Father and the Son were alone. They were alone. Yes, they were onlookers, but they did not know what was taking place in the heart of our Savior. As Jesus was pierced, the Bible shares with us that water and blood flowed forth. Doctors have told me that that's in reference to the fact that our Savior's heart was broken. It was broken. He bore our sin, that we might have eternal life. So as you look at this type, and you know as you look at a type, they're not perfect. Types are never perfect. There's one more. The last one is this. Isaac did not have to die. He did not have to die. Yet, he was a sinner, and he needed one to die for him. Our Savior, he did need to die that we might have eternal life. Isaac needed a Savior. You need a Savior. And that's why Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world. As you look at Isaac, it's a beautiful picture of our Father's relationship with his Son. And what went through our Savior's mind as he died for the sins of the world. What a beautiful type. Now, I want to share with you here in verse 8. Listen to this. Abraham and Isaac were walking up the hill. Isaac had the wood on his back. His father had the fire within his hands, the coal that was going to start the fire for the sacrifice. And Abraham and Isaac, as they're walking, Isaac had a question. Isaac was wondering, well, what about the lamb? What about the sacrifice? It's not here. We don't have one. And look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide a lamb. I believe that this isn't only prophecy of that day, but of the future as well. God will provide a lamb. Man knew about his sin. Genesis chapter 3, for all have sinned. We're all sinners. Genesis chapter 3 refers to the fact that wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There was a problem with sin, and they knew that there had to be a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice that would end all sacrifices. And Abraham, in a very prophetic way, said, God will provide a lamb. That lamb was provided in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God will provide a lamb. Have you accepted him as your personal savior? The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, our savior, died alone on the cross that day that you and I might have eternal life. Isaac is a type of Christ. Isaac was willing to be sacrificed, and so was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac was led up the mountain with the wood on his back, and so did our Savior. That cross was laid on his back, not only that wood, but the sins of the world. Isaac was his only son, and so was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only son. And thirdly, or fourthly, sacrifice of Isaac was done in private. He was alone, and so was our Savior. And Isaac did not have to die, but Jesus did. Jesus died for the sins of the world, that you and I might have eternal life. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today and for the story of Abraham and how it's such a beautiful picture of what our Savior would do one day. Just as Abraham said, you will provide a lamb. And that's exactly what you did. You provided a Savior in light of Christmas. What a beautiful picture. Father, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in hearts in ways that I cannot. I pray that today, if there's one here that's not saved, one here who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day where they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where they realize that you did provide a lamb. You provided a means of eternal life. Oh, Father, I pray that no one here today will reject that gift. No one here today will turn away that sacrifice that was given so long ago in remembrance of the fact that we're lost, that we're condemned, headed for hell. Father, use these words today to work in hearts. I pray for those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that this certainly will embolden us to share the good news with our friends and loved ones around us, that there is a Savior. He was born, and we remember that day on December 25th. I'm so glad the world sets aside this date to remember the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, folks, if there's one here today without Christ, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I plead with you today to respond to the Word of God. Come during this invitation. Find out what it means to be born again. Behold the Lamb of God. He died for you in your place that you might have eternal life. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll use this message today and work in hearts in ways I can't. I cannot save a soul, but you can. And Father, I pray that you'll work in hearts in ways this morning In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Kevin's going to come, lead us in a closing hymn.
Please stand and turn to hymn number 157. The floor is open up here if you want to come pray. 157. Here we go. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Verse 2. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. On the last, and when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. Thank you.
Let's close in a word of prayer. Come back next Sunday morning as we look at another message in light of Christmas. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word today. The promises within, the hope found all the way from Genesis to Revelation. One common thread, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to remember our Savior, not to put him to the side when we think about Christmas. The true reason, the meaning for Christmas is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, I pray that we'll leave today rejoicing, excited about what you have done for us. But most of all, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that they'll trust Christ as our personal Savior today, that they'll talk to one of us before they leave, find out what it means to be born again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.